put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Or some rascally Boston Red Sox root and construction workers tried to do. Put a spell on Yankee Stadium when they buried a Red Sox jersey in the foundation of the new Yankee Stadium. Well, that was kind of the most exciting thing to happen in the storied rivalry this weekend. The games they played against each other were a little bit ho-hum, quite frankly. The real drama involved Tigers, Tiger Woods, and the Detroit Tigers, both not doing so well in their respective sports of golf and baseball. But there is a connection between the two, as I learned this weekend from the BPP sports analyst, former ESPN producer, broadcaster, and St. Louis Cardinals obsessor, and husband of yours truly, Bill Wolf. Hi, Bill.
It's a fine line between obsessor and lover.
So, what? Explain the connection between golf's big show, the Masters, and baseball season.
The Masters was started in 1935 at Augusta National down there in Georgia by Bobby Jones, one of the great golfers of all time. And he decided he would have this tournament featuring all the best players at this unbelievably beautiful golf course in the first week of April. And the reason he did that was that traditionally all of baseball's spring training would occur in Florida, and the sports writers would have to make their way back up the eastern seaboard to get back to their hometowns of Philadelphia and New York and Boston and all those. And they'd have to stop as they made their way on the train at his golf tournament. So the reason the Masters is in the first week of April is that it was a way for Bobby Jones to get publicity for his golf tournament, because the sports writers had no other way to get home but to go through Georgia and stop and watch the Masters. So that is the connection between the Masters and baseball.
It happened
at the end of spring training. Isn't that fascinating?
A little bit of history there.
Come on.
It was Trevor over Tiger, 28-year-old, the South African. Trevor Immelman has a pretty good story, a benign tumor removed from his diaphragm 4 months ago. Stomach parasite during last year's Masters knocked him off the tour for a month. Was he expected to play this well, or did Tiger Woods and the blonde guy who looks like the love child of Owen Wilson's and Ron Howard, what's his name, Snedeker?
Brant Snedeker.
Yeah. Did they just play poorly? Which is it?
It's really neither. I guess it's truer that Immelman could have been expected to play this well. Immelman's a really, really good young player. And, for instance, we had a little friendly pool at the office, and one of the fellas, Mr. David Cerosi, picked Trevor Immelman to win the tournament. So it's not as if someone who never played well before won the tournament.
Not like the guy last year who came out of nowhere.
Zach Johnson, right. Trevor Immelman is a really excellent player, and everybody knows. Of course, everyone always thinks, and usually correctly so, that Tiger Woods is going to win every big tournament, because he wins more than his fair share of every big tournament. The press this morning is all talking about how poorly Tiger played, but in reality he was three strokes better than Trevor Immelman was on Sunday. So he didn't really play so poorly. He missed three easy putts. Had he hit those three easy putts, Tiger would have tied Trevor Immelman. He was three strokes behind him in the end. But when you're putting at Augusta, imagine, if you haven't played golf, trying to get a ball bearing into a hole on a chalkboard. It's an unbelievably difficult golf course, and the wind was up yesterday. And so Tiger merely played very well. He shot even par. And he was so far behind going into the final round that he couldn't catch Trevor Immelman, who only played okay himself. He was three over par yesterday, Immelman.
Yeah,
at the very end,
we were both sort of yawning, and I was waiting for 60 minutes to come on. I'm making dinner.
You and the rest of America, it was really dull.
As opposed to all those riveting golf tournaments.
Now, wait a minute. When there's a lot at stake and every single shot could be the difference, it is actually kind of exciting.
Okay.
But the final round of the Masters yesterday, and I hate to say this because I enjoy watching the Masters, confirmed every terrible thing everybody says about golf. It was like watching other people's leisure time. You know, you might as well have been on the deck of a Carnival cruise watching them play shuffleboard. It really was not exciting, and I really wish it had been, because I devoted many hours of my life to watching it for the last 4 days.
Let's move into baseball. The Detroit Tigers were seen as the team to beat this year.
Yeah, they
really have a horrible record.
Horrible.
I mean, they lost Saturday 7-0 to the White Sox. Can you explain to people why this is such a shocker?
Well, not only, may I just add that they lost 11-0 yesterday. Why is it a shocker? Well, the Tigers, remember, were in the World Series in 2006 against a little a little juggernaut known as the St. Louis Cardinals. So the Tigers have been a very good team for the last few years, and in this offseason, they spent a lot of money and made some fancy trades and brought in an outstanding shortstop called Edgar Renteria, former St. Louis Cardinal, and a third baseman named Miguel Cabrera, formerly of the Florida Marlins, who is thought to be one of the great young players in the game, and a pitcher called Dontrell Willis, one of the very good left-handed pitchers. So they are stacked up. They have a lineup stacked up. The new murderer's row was supposed to be the Detroit Tigers, and they just can't get off the dime. They lost their first seven games, which they were the only team to do that, and since then they've won two of their last five, but that's not very good either. So here they are, 2-10, two wins, 10 losses, and already 5.5 games behind the Chicago White Sox, who lead their division. So it's very surprising that the Tigers are as bad as they are. They're neither pitching well nor hitting well.
Is it a matter of that the team has so many good players that they aren't playing as a team, that they're each doing their individual thing? Or is it just some weird happenstance?
I think it's weird happenstance. It's unlikely that a team with as many good... I mean, they have a couple of significant injuries. Their center fielder, Curtis Granderson, who is excellent, is out for the first month or so of the season. And slugger Gary Sheffield, former New York Yankee, L.A. Dodger, Atlanta Brave, Milwaukee Brewer, Gary Sheffield, is also dinged up a little bit. But it's just unlikely that a team with as many good hitters as the Tigers would see all of those good hitters hit poorly all at once. And that's what's happening. They're just sort of on the downside of a sine curve where they're all stinking all at once. And you wouldn't have put your money on that, but it's happening. Poor Tigers.
Yankees and Red Sox play this weekend, a series. Yeah. Boston took two of the games,
yep.
To one. But it really wasn't that much excitement. Usually you and your sports buddies, Willie Geis, Brad out in Chicago, texting uh-huh. back and forth. But it was
sure.
a big old yawn, really.
I thought it was kind of a yawn. Well, because neither team was the drama of the offseason. The Yanks and the Red Sox always play this early season series, and everybody gets all fired up, and they're both excellent, and they've made these big moves, and how will it be? But this year, really, the offseason drama, after Alex Rodriguez re-signed with the Yankees, the offseason drama this year was about steroids.
It was Clemens,
and
right.
It really was. And Clemens was not, he is associated with both the Red Sox and the Yankees, but the scandal wasn't associated with either team, really. It was just a Roger Clemens or a bigger baseball scandal. So there was no scandal, there was no drama, and neither team is off to some flying start. So it didn't have the pre-series buildup and hype and pressure going into it. So there wasn't that much drama coming in, and then they played, and neither team played all that well. Red Sox took two or three. Great. I was more concerned with the Cardinals and the Giants out in San Francisco. They split four, darling, as you may know.
Yes, I know that. I do know that. The bigger drama, however, was this jersey curse attempt. The New York Post headline Friday, curses, buried shirt, put Sox pox on new stadium.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Yankee officials had the Red Sox t-shirts dug out of the concrete under the future visiting clubhouse. Do you believe in these curses, Bill Wolf?
No, I do not. The Cubs are said to be cursed, the curse of the Billy Goat, which apparently began in 1945, and the Cubs haven't won since. There was the Black Sox curse on the White Sox from 1919, which ended in 2000. When did they win the World Series? 2005? No, I don't believe in any of them. And also, as I have to rip from Keith Olbermann, MSNBC's Keith Olbermann, who pointed out aptly on Friday that curses are generally self-induced. So this construction worker who decided to bury a Red Sox jersey under Yankee Stadium to curse the Yankees doesn't understand that in order to be cursed traditionally, one has to, or a team has to, curse itself. You can't put a curse on. The team has to do it to itself. So it was a misguided effort by this noble person trying to curse the Yankees. And if you could curse the Yankees, I'd wish him well. I want the Yankees to be cursed.
The haterade comes out.
Haterade? I'm just doing what's right, darling.
Bill Wolf, BPP sports analyst.
We didn't even get into Brett Michaels. Oh, well.
Rock of Love. That was the real sport of the weekend.
That was the sports drama.
Amber won.
Next time. There's a reunion show we can talk about next week.
Bill Wolf, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Stay with the BPP.
There's more good stuff coming up. We're from NPR News.